We read responsively Psalm 67. It is on page 182 in the front of the hymnal. God, be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading for this evening is taken from the third chapter of Revelation, beginning at verse 1. I'll be reading a slightly different translation from what is on the bulletin. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "The words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are the words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. How important is it for you to have your name spelled correctly? I suppose it depends on the context. A few years ago, we were taking a trip, and my wife's name was spelled incorrectly on her airline reservation, and thereby it was spelled incorrectly on her boarding pass. And how in the world, even after I spelled it over the phone, did A-N-I-T-A become A-N-A-T-A-H is beyond me. But still, because it was incorrect on her boarding pass, it didn't match what was on her driver's license, and so she couldn't get through security until it was corrected. Now, I suppose that I can understand why that situation was handled that way. But let's think about perhaps a less formal situation. You're at a conference. You have a name tag that's plastered on your shirt. Is it really going to bother you if your name is Anne and yet your name tag says Anna? It might annoy you for a bit, but you'll get over it. There is one place, though, where you want your name recorded. You'll have it recorded properly because God is the one who is going to write it down. In the letter that John is told to write to the people, the Christians at Sardis, the bottom line really is pretty clear. Make sure your name is recorded in the book of life. Now, it's obvious from the context here in Revelation and from the context of the rest of Scripture what this book of life is. It's the book in which God has recorded all of the names of all of his children, all of his elect people. It's the same book mentioned another 6 times in Revelation. It's the same book to which Paul refers in Philippians 4 when he says that the names of his fellow gospel workers are recorded in this book. It's the same book about which Moses pleads to God in Exodus 32. After the golden calf debacle, Moses is begging for God's forgiveness for the people, and he offers to give his own life on their behalf. He says, "But now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book, which you have written." So the twofold question really is your name written in the book of life? And secondly, how did it get there? Well, the answer to the first question really is pretty simple to figure out. And really, we can just ask that question in a different way. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior from sin and death? And if you answer yes to that question, that means your name is written in the book of life. Simple as that. Now, how did it get there? Usually, if our name is recorded somewhere official, there's a certain process that you have to go through. Take, for example, getting your driver's license. What did you have to do? Well, you had to fill out a form or many forms. You had to take a test, perhaps many tests. You had to pay some small fee. And then, after all of those steps were completed, your name was recorded as an official driver in whatever state you were getting your license. So what form did you have to fill out in order for your name to be recorded in the book of life? What test did you have to take? There were none. What fee did you have to pay to have your name recorded in this all-important book? Well, I can't say that there was none, but you didn't pay it. You see, there was a payment due. There was a fee. And God didn't just overlook it. You were born in the same condition toward which the people in Sardis were sliding, namely spiritual death. You couldn't help it. You couldn't do anything about that. As David says in Psalm 51, "In sin my mother conceived me." You're born in sin. This dirt and death of sin Isaiah describes in his 64th chapter as a garment that's polluted or filthy. And if, according to this text from Revelation, we need to be wearing white garments in order to get into heaven, well, then we're in more than just trouble. But Jesus to the rescue. Now, I don't say that to make it sound trite, because Jesus really did rescue us. We were headed to hell because of our sin. And what did he do? He stepped in and he took our place. He stepped in and he made that payment that God required by shedding his own blood for us. And when we were baptized, our sins were washed away because of that shed blood. And we were clothed with white garments as God's children. And it was then that God wrote our names in his book of life. Truly, in essence, writing them in the blood of his son. Now, that's the case right now, at least, correct? That your name is written in the book of life. But what about tomorrow? What about the next day? What about the next year? Why is it that if your name is written in the book of life, why is it that if you're one of God's people, you keep on sinning? That was the problem for the Christians at Sardis. Jesus said, "You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead." These Christians were hanging by a thread. Their faith was about to die. Maybe you know that feeling. Maybe you've been in that situation where you keep sinning, perhaps doing the same sin over and over and over again. It starts to wear on you. You just can't seem to break a certain bad habit. And it just is easier to go ahead and sin. Note the remedy for this problem of a dying or of a weak faith. "Wake up and strengthen what remains," Jesus says. Our faith becomes weak when we don't eat, when we don't read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest God's word. Faith becomes weak when we don't repent as often as we should, when we aren't renewed with God's sacraments, when we don't remember every day our baptisms and what happened there, when we don't partake of our Lord's Supper at his table, when our faith is strengthened, when we do make use of God's word and sacraments, then we're able more and more to overcome temptation. We're able to overthrow sin from our lives. We move closer and closer to gaining the final victory. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot out his name from the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels, Jesus says. Indeed, our final victory will come either when we die, residing in Christ and trusting in him, or when Jesus comes back and finds us faithful to him. Now, Jesus doesn't hold that out in front of us like that proverbial carrot on a stick, saying, now you be a good Christian and you'll get to go to heaven. No. Jesus assures us that as we continue to be strengthened in him, in his word, that he will give us his power to achieve that final victory. We will get to keep forever and ever those gleaming white garments that we received in our baptisms, the same white garments that we're going to wear along with all of the other believers as we're brought to heaven. Making sure that your name is recorded in the book of life is not an arduous task. It's not something over which you lose countless hours of sleep worrying if you're doing enough to make God happy. Making sure that your name is recorded in the book of life is relatively easy. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. Stay in God's word. Repent of your sin and receive the forgiveness that Jesus has won for you through his shed blood. It's that simple. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and Most merciful Lord, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.